Hey, everybody, it's the Charlie Kirk Show. RNC regime change? What is the white man's abortion issue? What part of the Bible am I studying right now? That and more on this Ask Me Anything episode of the Charlie Kirk Show. If this show has impacted your life, please consider going to members.charliekirk.com and join our growing community. We are doing regular meetings where you can ask me questions. You go to the front of the line to ask a question if you're a member. You can listen to all of our episodes advertiser-free and more. That is members.charliekirk.com, members.charliekirk.com. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. We're taking your questions. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Let's get to the first question here. Charlie, I see that there is a new regime at the RNC. I know this was a focus and an emphasis of yours. Do you care to tell us more? Yes, so we've been focusing on this for several months. In fact, over a year. You see, Rana, she declared war on Turning Point. Rana was a failed chair, and she never even acknowledged that they could be doing things better, never hired vast amount of field staff, never built out a grassroots army capable of winning. And Rana was up for re-election in January of last year. And the previous December, Rana attacks Turning Point. She was on the Brian Kilmeade show. And she says, oh, you know, Turning Point, they can't win anything in Arizona. Like, wait a second, what is going on here? Out of nowhere. And we said, okay, if she's really going to declare war on us, then we're going to respond. And we started to realize that the grassroots were very upset. The grassroots, you, the precinct committeemen, the people that are registering voters and chasing ballots, the people that are making elections happen, you wanted a new vision of the RNC. And so we went to Dana Point, California last year. As many of you know, we reported live from there to try to get a new RNC chair. We did our best. And we fell short. Harmeet Dhillon would have been a great chair. And we warned. We said, hey, if you do not have Rana removed, you're not going to be able to raise a lot of capital. You're going to have a funding problem. And they said, oh, no, you know, we have all these donors. And it turns out the RNC this last year had the worst year inflation adjusted for raising money in 30 years. The RNC was unable to hire the necessary staff in these states. We're outnumbered 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 to 1 as far as staffing goes. So we at Turning Point Action, we have stepped up. We've raised some of the money. We're hiring the ballot chasers, hiring the precinct organizers. The largest GOTV effort in the history of Republican politics, early GOTV effort. We're going to have hundreds of full-time people in Arizona and Wisconsin targeting the precincts, targeting the counties that we need to win, that are necessary for victory. And you guys didn't let up. We kept on leading you. We talked about how the RNC continued to spend money on flowers and other niceties and luxury items. How even when the RNC was exposed for its extravagant spending, that they doubled and tripled down. It was a failed regime, the entire cabal there. I hope they never get hired in any sort of decent job in politics. They had contempt for the grassroots. And then Rana turned up the temperature. Rana, instead of spending time to defeat Joe Biden, Rana did her best to try to come after this show and this program. She went after us personally. She planted stories in adversarial media against us. The RNC was more focused on trying to attack, smear, and slander Turning Point USA, Turning Point Action, Charlie Kirk, and Tyler Boyer than they were about building a political party for victory. And we kept on saying, just resign, step aside. Oh, she's never going to resign, never going to resign. So then we said, well, let's create an alternative RNC meeting in Vegas. Many of you know that, the Restoring National Confidence Summit. It wasn't personal. Late January in Vegas, we held our own RNC meeting. Bannon was there. It was an excellent gathering. In fact, the clip from that meeting is just amazing. State party chair, national committeeman, grassroots warrior after grassroots warrior. Thank you, Turning Point. Thank you, Turning Point. Thank you, Turning Point USA. Thank you, Turning Point Action. Thank you, Turning Point Action. Thank you, Turning Point Action. We're getting data. We're getting training. We're getting technology. We're getting marching orders. That's exactly why we were doing what we were doing. And now, after a fair amount of effort, yeah, let's get that clip loaded. Fair amount of grit. You are successful. I don't take any credit for this. Of course, it's Donald Trump who deserves the ultimate credit. He's the one that forced this. So thank you, President Trump, for acting swiftly, getting rid of Rana, putting in Laura Trump, putting in Chris LaCivita, putting in Michael Whatley. And I just want to enjoy this clip because this is a victory for you, a victory for the grassroots. Play cut 125.
Move to a vote. The question is on the election of Laura Trump as co-chairman of the Republican National Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no. The ayes have it, and Laura Trump is elected as co-chairman of the Republican National Committee.
Officially elected as co-chair of the Republican National Committee. So Rana gave a quote-unquote farewell address. I don't want to spend too much time on that, but it's worth playing part of it. Rana said, I'm stepping aside today because I've long promised to put the nominee and their plans for the RNC first. President Trump deserves to have the team he wants to in place at the RNC. When I made the decision to step aside, there was no one else I supported to be the next chair more than Michael Whatley. Michael and I had a very close relationship as he ran North Carolina. He'll be phenomenal. And I know an issue President cares deeply about, which is election integrity. Did she mention that she's probably the worst RNC chair that we've had since Michael Steele? Leaving the organization with very little capital, very little money. It's funny, you know, she says, well, we had a very, very good February. I wonder why, Rana. Donors started to give once you said, I'm going to step down. Let's play cut 126. The money's already starting to flow in. Cut 126.
We have to raise a lot of money. And I have great news. I brought this up here today because I wanted everyone to know that already I have a check for the Republican National Committee for $100,000 that has been donated as of today, as of these nominations going through. Yeah, we're starting today, folks.
And the small dollar donors are coming in. We're getting emails, freedom@charliekirk.com. It's pouring in. Charlie, I'm giving $10 now. I'm giving $15. I'm giving $20. Laura Trump is a superstar. She's a great person. She's just going to do a terrific job. This is 129 that shows how Turning Point Action forced the issue. Turning Point Action forced the conversation. And we stuck our neck out there. A lot of people talked a good game about the RNC, but they were deathly afraid. Because look, the RNC, they play for keeps. The RNC, they're a mafia. They're a cartel. We took the slings and the arrows. We held the line. We punched back when appropriate. And now the losers are out of the way. It's one of the things I'm very thankful we participated in. They attacked my character. They tried to say that we were doing this for profit. I needed this like a hole in the head. Rana was far more concerned about destroying my career personally, destroying this show, because that's what, again, they work like the five family mob. That's all they know. They don't care about winning elections. They care about their own power. This clip shows how Turning Point Action forced the issue. Play cut 129.
Thank you to Turning Point. I've learned more in one day than I have in 2 years.
What are two or three things you learned that you didn't know before?
So they have, the Turning Point data people have dug down to precinct level, six precincts of mine that had target voters that were likely voters in 2016, 2020 that did not vote, and they're Republicans, down to 25,000 voters. I can hit those six precincts now with my walk list. I've never gotten that dug down from the RPOF or the RNC. Turning Point has done it. I'm taking it home to my people, my precinct captains, and going out and doing this now. 25,000 votes. That's amazing. Huge. That's huge. Huge. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you to Charlie Kirk. Thank you, Steve, for everything you do.
We have several more like that. It's a beautiful clip. We are in a much better position to win in November. And just so we're clear, I had coming into this new year, I was very negative on the RNC. I said, it's going to be Rana going in. I had no idea that this was actually going to happen. But we didn't give up. And President Trump deserves the credit. Excellent personnel choice. He deserves great praise for acting swiftly. Folks, so many people I know are disheartened that our country seems to have forgotten the importance of citizenship, and they wonder how a strong sense of citizenship might be revived. That's why my friends at Hillsdale College have produced a free online course on this topic, American Citizenship and Its Decline. Taught by historian Victor Davis Hanson, the course traces the history of citizenship and explains how it is undermined in America today by open borders, by identity politics, by the administrative state, and by globalization. Americans taking the course will gain a deeper insight about the connection between citizenship and freedom, an insight they can share with their family members, friends, and neighbors. Hillsdale's free online courses are an important component of Hillsdale's mission to reach and teach increasing millions of people on behalf of liberty and the American way of life. So sign up today for Hillsdale's free online course, American Citizenship and Its Decline, by visiting charlieforhillsdale.com. That is charlieforhillsdale.com. Start your free course today at charlieforhillsdale.com. Understand the checklist of things the RNC needs to do. They are behind schedule, but a new regime will have a mandate to help get these things done. And look, we need to get out the vote and ballot chasing. Where legal, we need to harvest. This is the modern electoral equivalent of the arms race. And we're getting smashed right now, probably outspent 10 to 1. After I saw Joe Biden's State of the Union address, and Joe Biden is likely going to be the nominee unless he drops dead or something goofy happens, we need to get to work. This is why polls don't materialize on election day and month. If we're up 3, we lose. If we're up 4, we lose. Unless we chase ballots, unless we organize our precincts. It's not enough just to say, hey, we have to throw everybody on election day and hope everything works out. By the way, we have to secure our elections. Where are the lawsuits? The RNC right now with this new regime, Lara Trump should take that $100,000 check, and we need to go retain some pit bull lawyers, and we need to go sue right now. Sue against the relaxing of signature verification. We need to sue for ballot custody. We need to sue against these massive drop boxes, some of which are finally improving. The issue set is in our favor. What is remarkable about what the Democrats are trying to do is they have an unpopular political agenda that they're successfully able to force on the American people because they're better at politics than we are. Politics is now a game. It's a game of who can get the most pieces of paper into the ballot box in a 30-day window. And they have no reservations to cut corners. They have no reservations to deploy thousands and thousands of ballot chasers into the streets. In fact, they're proud of it. And so at Turning Point Action, we're going to have hundreds of full-time people in Arizona alone. Right now, the RNC has won, and the Trump campaign has won. We hope that changes. And the Trump campaign has taken over the RNC. We need to have at least 1,500 full-time people in Arizona alone if we're serious about winning it. The game has totally changed. Used to be able to have like a field director, a couple volunteers. No. Because of mass mail-in voting, you need bodies. You need to flood the zone. You need full occupation of the target states. Joe Biden knows this. I was just recently in a meeting, and this will shock many of you. It might not shock you. And they said, Charlie, who do you think has the advantage? I said, of course Joe Biden has the advantage. And they said, what do you mean? He's feeble. He's weak. I said, okay, yeah, fine, sure. Of course he is. I said, but he's an incumbent president with the entire oligarchy backing him, with superior election machinery. And the RNC is a complete joke that's now turning into something real, thankfully. I said, what makes you think elections are about issues anymore? It might be on the margins. It might be for certain swing voters. And that's why they run so much TV advertisement. Elections are about the plumbing. It's about getting into the weeds. It's about the boring stuff that Republicans largely don't focus on. It used to be, hey, it's the economy, stupid. Now it's, hey, it's the clipboards, stupid. Or it's the community organizers, stupid. We don't give our people clipboards. There's a mobile application that they're able to use, but you get the point. It's the community organizers. And we are still living in this antiquated 2016 model where we think that we have election day. You want a fun fact? In the target states that matter, a majority of the voters will vote before election day. A majority in the states that matter. So people say, oh, you know, we have 271 days till election day. I say we have 271 days till the ballots start to get announced and counted. We have 30 days ahead of that. And the Democrats, they're already profiling their swing independent voters. They're already doing that. Plus, Joe Biden is going to outspend us 5 or 6 to 1. Joe Biden will raise billions of dollars. Joe Biden is a spokesperson for the corporate oligarchy, for the billionaire class. He'll have as much money as he wants. They love what is happening to this country. Enthusiastic about no borders, cheap money, stock market highs. So we are the underdog, and we are currently not acting like the underdog. Way too much pride, way too much cockiness. If I have to hear another person ask me, Charlie, can I be, you know, on the presidential transition team? I say, why don't we win before you worry about what role you're going to serve in the government? None of that matters if you don't win. And currently, we're the underdog. They are the favorite. The world is in flames and Bidenomics is a complete and total disaster. But it can't and won't ruin my day. Why? Because I start my day with a hot America First cup of Blackout Coffee. It's 100% America and 0% grift. Blackout Coffee is 100% committed to conservative values. From sourcing the beans to the roasting process, customer support, and shipping, they embody true American values and accept no compromise on taste or quality. Look, you got to check out right now blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie or use coupon code Charlie for 20% off your first order. That is blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Be awake, not woke. That's blackoutcoffee.com/Charlie. Check it out. Promo code Charlie. Okay, let's get to some more questions here. This is a remarkable story. It almost seems fake, to be honest. Someone emails us here. Trevor from Georgia. Charlie, did you see the story about the guy that went on Joe Rogan and then they found a decapitated body in his freezer? I would love to have you riff on this. Yeah, this is something else. So essentially, there's this guy that goes on Joe Rogan's show, and his name is Sheldon Johnson. So Sheldon Johnson has kind of become the face of a criminal justice advocate. And so his whole idea, his whole thing is that, look, I was in prison and now I'm no longer. And apparently he goes on, I made a mistake, I'm reformed, and give me another chance. So he appears on Joe Rogan's show last month, who was just arrested for murdering a man and dismembering his corpse. But it gets even worse. So on Rogan's podcast, the Innocence Project lawyer, Josh Dubin, calls Sheldon, quote, a miracle, and complained that he was sent to prison for 25 years over 2 stitches. In reality, Sheldon was an experienced drug dealer with a prior conviction who pistol-whipped somebody during an armed robbery, an attack that, contrary to the movies, can easily kill or seriously maim a person. Johnson said that his son, quote, got into a fight with this Chinese guy who tragically died. In reality, his son viciously attacked a random Columbia grad student, punched him in the face, and chased him to the street where a car killed him. Despite committing murder, his son served less than 2 years in juvie. A police officer testified he shows no remorse for the killing. Johnson's father, meanwhile, raped a 7-year-old 3 times, blaming the fact his wife wouldn't have sex with him due to his drug habit. A judge just gave him 5 years of probation. This is the family that the Innocence Project... By the way, I was attacked for going after the Innocence Project, that the Innocence Project trotted out as proof the justice system is overly punitive and systemically racist. So this guy was the favorite. He got on Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan's one of the hardest podcasts to get booked on. The Innocence Project picked this guy specifically. They picked, hey, this guy is a great example. And I usually don't read the Daily Beast, but I have to read the Daily Beast headline. Quote, Joe Rogan guest arrested after discovery of headless torso in NYC. The Innocence Project exists purely to get criminals off the hook. They exist to promote crime. So I'm going to play this tape here. He sounds reasonable. Joe Rogan fawns over him, by the way. He gets on the Joe Rogan program. It turns out, for whatever reason, he has a headless torso in his apartment. Probably should have done your research, Innocence Project. Let's play. I think it's 127, please.
I need my money. I'm just, this is just me being honest. This is me being straight. You know, I gave you something, and we had an understanding that you were going to pay me. And when I came home, when I finally located this particular individual, he had his girlfriend with him. And this guy owed me $5,000 for some drugs that I had gave him on consignment. I gave him an eighth of a kilo, which is 125 grams of cocaine. And when I saw him, he had a bunch of jewelry on. He was with his girlfriend. She had a bunch of jewelry on. And I said, hey, man, where's my money at?
So Rogan basically fawns over him, and it's all about reforming the criminal justice system. In 1999, Johnson was convicted of murder, robbery, and attempted charges in New York court. So the Innocence Project comes in and sues. So he went on a February episode of the Joe Rogan podcast to discuss his advocacy work and how he turned his life around while incarcerated. He claimed he'd gone to prison as a high-ranking member of the Bloods, but he's been able to untangle himself from gang ties. Quote, I really said, I have to change my life. I have to change my life. I just can't do this. I had a wife, I had kids, I had family, still my son was growing up. He was hearing stories of the so-called notoriety, but he just didn't want to be that dad. Civil rights attorney Josh Dubin calls him a miracle. Now, while a group of people were doing, I think it was on parole, were doing a wellness check on Mr. Sheldon, the Daily Beast reports, quote, police found a headless torso and arms in his Bronx apartment while conducting a wellness check. So he knew they were coming to do a wellness check or like a parole visit, and he doesn't clean up the arms. Not only is this guy sick, he's stupid. You got like a decapitated, you got a torso and you got a bunch of arms. Mr. Johnson, we're here to do our wellness check. And he doesn't, I don't know, like put it in the freezer or something? Hey, but guys, our criminal justice system is punitive and racist, and if you dare disagree, you're a bad person. The remains were identified of that of Colin Small. Police said that Small was pronounced dead at the scene. His relationship to Jordan was, Johnson was not known, but law enforcement told sources they have a beef dating back to their time back together in Westchester County's notorious Sing Sing prison. Police said that neighbors in Johnson's building had heard at least two gunshots coming from inside a sixth-floor apartment early Tuesday, followed by a man shouting, please don't, I have a family. Another two gunshots followed. Later on Tuesday morning, the neighbors informed the building superintendent, who then called 911. Police who arrived at the apartment that night were met by Johnson, who then they took into custody later. They obtained a search warrant and discovered Small's torso and foot inside a large blue bin. The other foot, as well as his arms and legs, decapitated head, were found inside the apartment freezer. Oh, so he did utilize the freezer. I'm sorry. So it wasn't about parole. He put the head in the freezer. I mean, how obviously psycho must this guy be? So let's talk about this. What is the Innocence Project? To be perfectly clear, I just typed in the Innocence Project. There is not a single article about this tying the Innocence Project to this. Could you imagine if Turning Point USA had a screw-up this large, that if we sent somebody on Joe Rogan's podcast, this is the best representative that we have. This is our, and we find out that this person has, like, decapitated. And but even worse, this is their life's work. The Innocence Project is all about making you feel sorry for hardened criminals. I typed in the Innocence Project, and there is, it's all about Scott Peterson, which I'm sure Blake has strong opinions about the Scott Peterson case. I don't have strong opinions. I don't know that much about it. So the Innocence Project, quote, exists as a 501 nonprofit legal organization that's committed to exonerating individuals who've been wrongly convicted through the use of DNA testing and working to reform the criminal justice system to prevent future injustice. You go to their website, Kim Kardashian's endorsed them. You know what? I should look up on their if they still have Sheldon Johnson on their website, or did they scrub it? Sheldon Johnson. I think they might have scrubbed it. Got to get rid of that one. Let me see if they have this one here. Yes, it's just amazing. Sheldon Johnson has disappeared from the Innocence Project's website. Innocence Project, I thought this is your job. Come on, he's a miracle. Aren't you guys going to defend him, Innocence Project? Amazingly, Sheldon Johnson is nowhere to be found on the website anymore. It's just, poof, gone. That's weird. They have a massive staff of people. And just, I mean, I'm looking at their entire staff here. Imagine your life's work being, I want to make it easier for criminals to get out of jail. And they pose it as the wrongly accused, and I'm sure they do some good work every so often there. But if this is not a glaring example of how the choice nonprofits of the American ruling class are doing a disservice to the country. So think about it. Joe Rogan wants to have some person talk about how screwed up the criminal justice system is. Joe Rogan has a soft spot for drug use and over-sentencing. Fine. So Joe Rogan probably gets pitched by a lot of people, and they say, hey, let's bring this guy on. He's got an amazing story. I think the world of Joe Rogan. I want Joe Rogan to do like a comedy bit on this. Could you imagine Joe Rogan doing a stand-up routine? Joe Rogan saying, so I had this guy come on the show. He's talking about how reformed he is. And next time, he has an effing torso in his apartment 2 weeks later. He would do a much better job. But it's like built for Rogan stand-up comedy. If Rogan doesn't lean in on this, it'd be like one of the it would be one of the great missed opportunities. I mean, Rogan gets a lot of crap for being conservative lately, so he's trying to balance out his programming. So he has Riley Gaines, Christopher Rufo, and Charlie Manson. Black Charlie Manson. You gotta have all the different groups represented, I guess. It would be a huge missed opportunity if Joe Rogan didn't lean into this. He shouldn't avoid it. He should just make fun of it. Have one of his fellow comedians come on. They could smoke a couple joints. I hope Joe doesn't dodge this. Joe would just make a Mona Lisa out of this whole thing. And I don't fault Joe at all. I mean, come on, you don't know who comes on. They're booking guests, innocent. I don't. What I'm saying is that Joe could make a great light about this, being like, yeah, I really thought this guy had his life back together and he was transformed and he was changed. He's cutting people's limbs off and putting heads in a freezer. That's the Innocence Project, what they call a miracle. Turns out 25 years wasn't enough. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. You might be wondering why some of my age is talking to you about an organization that's been associated with older generation. And no, I don't mean the radical AARP. It's because preserving the foundation of our nation and promoting conservative values isn't just for seniors. It's for all Americans, regardless of age. That's why I want to talk to you about the other organization, AMAC. Yes, they champion issues that are critical to the senior community, but their mission and impact go way beyond that, offering incredible benefits and opportunities for conservatives of every age. Joining AMAC means you aren't only supporting advocacy for older Americans, you're also becoming part of a larger movement to protect our freedoms and ensure our nation endures for generations to come. Plus, here's the fun part, you'll enjoy member-only benefits and discounts on things like travel, food, theme parks, movie tickets, special car insurance rates, and more. The bottom line is that our fight for conservative values need fresh energy and wisdom and experience. So whether you're young and looking to make a difference or a seasoned patriot with an undying passion for freedom, AMAC is your home. Join today at amac.us/Kirk. Go and get a membership for your parents too and your grandparents for only $16 a year. It's the best way to play a crucial role in securing the future for all Americans. Do not wait. Join AMAC now at amac.us/Kirk. I want to get to two more questions here. Nathan says, Charlie, my thoughts of why do you think men and women are going different politically? My thought is that women are more emotional, men are more rational and reasonable. This goes across all races, white, black, or anything. It's because it's just my thoughts. Keep it up. I mean, look, of course, when I go to these campuses, there are so many young women that support Turning Point USA and support our movement. But generally, the young ladies do not resonate with my rational arguments. They always say, but that doesn't seem nice. I want to love all people. And you might talk about the cost or the consequence, and a lot of times they say, but that feels mean. Women generally want to fit in. They enforce rules and norms, and that could be very good for a society. It can also be very bad if the rules they're told to enforce are bad. Men, on the other hand, far more disagreeable. Women are more stable, which is a good thing. Men, on the other hand, they want a different type of politics. And you're seeing that collide. The conservative agenda of order, tradition, direction is speaking to a lost generation of men that have been drowning in the sea of secular liberalism. And we see that on campus. I mean, by far, the group that is the most excited to become in the right-wing revolution direction, it is young men. And so this was really funny. And then I want to get to this question about Elijah. So the Democrats have made a big mistake. This guy comes up. They want me to sign stuff at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. This guy comes up. He says, hey, can you sign my Zin? I was like, yeah, sure. So I sign it. All of a sudden, I think we have it on camera. I'm not exaggerating. 10 young men come up wanting me to sign their Zin things. Zin, what do they call it? Pack pouches? Zin, whatever, containers. And I start signing. Again, I have no moral opinion on Zin. Apparently, it's a nicotine pouch. Some people say it's good for you. Some people say it's bad for you. Some people say it does wonders. That's not my fight, okay? I don't think it should be banned at all. And I said to these young men, I said, and we'll never ban Zin. And they screamed with enthusiasm, like how women scream when they say we're never going to ban abortion. I am not exaggerating. Is Zin the white man abortion issue? I don't know. I'm just asking the question. I didn't talk about banning Zin. Chuck U. Schumer did. Chuck U. Schumer came out. He said, we're going to ban Zin. Exactly. Those little things. I signed 10 of those things yesterday. Again, I have a very indifferent, I'm not going to promote it. I'm not going to ban it. But the Democrats, I'll tell you, they are sitting on a thermonuclear weapon here. Is Zin the white man's abortion issue? If you want to win, don't ban Zin. Okay, so someone has a question here. Carlos, Charlie, what Bible story have you really been focusing on? I love the Bible. I'm trying to read it. I also love your wife's Bible ministry. Thank you. You guys should check out Biblein365.com. You should check it out, Biblein365.com. The story of Elijah. The story of Elijah is a beautiful story. It occurs in 1 Kings. Elijah is, without a doubt, one of the most important figures of the Bible. So important, though, he's unusual that, like Jesus, he did not write about his own life. And that's what makes his life a little bit different. Moses wrote about his life. It's not the only one. I suppose Abraham didn't, nor did Isaac or Jacob. However, Elijah did a couple things. Number one, he was very political. He challenged King Ahab. Who is God? Let's have a throwdown. Elijah was also very demoralized, went almost into the desert, basically said, I'm giving up. I'm totally demoralized. God rescued him from that. And he trusted in God. And he was a man's man. He confronted Jezebel multiple times. He confronted Ahab. He had a heart for the prophets and a heart for the Lord, and he was obedient, but it didn't always go easy for him. So I encourage you guys to pray and meditate over the incredible story of Elijah. And one of the other great ones is that one of the great takeaways of the story of Elijah is that all religions are not the same. And there's this amazing narrative where basically, hey, who is God? Baal or the Almighty God of Jehovah? I'll let you guys read 1 Kings. It's an amazing story, and the story of Elijah. We need a new spirit of Elijah, speaking of being a man's man. I bet Elijah would do Zin if he was alive today. I'm kidding. That's somewhat heretical. So thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.